Reb Shmuel Shvatz.
Morning. In this parasha, we have the parasha of the Mapilim. Once the Meraglim had come back, and they told Klal Yisrael they shouldn't go to Eretz Yisrael, Rebbe Yishon was very upset with them. He wanted to wipe Klal Yisrael out. Moshe Rabbeinu was Melamed Zchus on Klal Yisrael. And then we have the parasha, but nevertheless, Rebbe Yishon says that the people between the people of Klal Yisrael won't be zoicha to go to Eretz Yisrael. Only the Meraglim, Zeshua and Kolev, who didn't speak negative about Klal Yisrael, about Eretz Yisrael, they'll be allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. So then we have, immediately after that, the pasuk says as follows: Vayashkimu baboyke veyalu el roish ha'ar leimoir hinenu va'alinu el amokim asha'oma Hashem ki chotanu. Klal Yisrael said that we've sinned, we want to change our minds, and yes, we do want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Ki chotanu, because we have sinned. So the pasuk continues, "V'yomer Moshe lo mazeh atem oivim al pi Hashem," v'hi loitzitzloch. The Rebbe Yishon says that you won't have atzlocha in doing so, and he says if you will do so, the Amaleki and the Kanani will come and fight against you, and you'll be full, you'll be killed. And the pasuk then says, "V'yapilu la'alois al rosh ha'har." They indeed went. V'arein bris Hashem u'moshe le'moshe mikerav ha'machane. Klal Yisrael stayed where they were in the machane, and indeed, v'yerik ha'moleki v'aknani v'yaktum al ad ha'horma. Klal Yisrael, those people who did make an effort to go to Eretz Yisrael, despite having been told not to, were killed. The parasha seems a very difficult parasha to understand. Seemingly, if we give an example, if a child is supposed to go to bed, and you say time and time and time again, go to bed, go to bed, go to bed. And eventually the father loses patience and he says, right, don't go to bed, but there'll be repercussion, there'll be circuit, whatever, there'll be a punishment. So then the child starts crying and says, okay, daddy, I'll go to bed. So seemingly you'd say, okay, you've come to your senses now, and off you go to bed, wonderful. Here we find a very interesting thing. Klal Yisrael was supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael. They made a fuss and they didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. But now, they haven't come to the appreciation and they said, Chotanu. Hinenu v'alina mokim Hashem ki chotanu. Because we have sinned. We've sinned, so we have to be going. And despite that, the Rebbe Yishon says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you shouldn't be going. And if you do go, then there'll be severe repercussions, and indeed we see that those who did go were killed. So it seems to be a very strong reaction to seemingly Klal Yisrael coming back to their senses. To be able to explain this, to understand this idea, I'd like to share with you a beautiful vort which Reb Chaim Kaufman used to say. I find a very interesting thing, that we know there's Tamar, and there's Tamar. Tamar was really the daughter-in-law of Yehuda. She was married to Erev Oinon, it didn't work out. They were killed because they sinned. And in the end, she had the nevuah, whatever it was, she understood, Mishamayim, that she should marry Yehuda, and she arranged a way for doing so. And then, the way the story goes is that it was told to Yehuda when she was pregnant that seemingly Tamar has been mezaneh. And Yehuda says Tamar has to be killed. But not wanting to embarrass Yehuda, as we know, she says she prepares herself to be killed if that's what's to be. And she says that these, the Miyah Pesinim and Miyah Chosemes, who are the Mashkoinim, which Yehuda gave to me, the person who these belong to should come forward. And then we see the godless of Yehuda. Yehuda said, yes, she's correct, she's right, she's besotkam and many. And he says, these are mine. Phenomenal. Tamar, remembered forever for all eternity as being a woman who was Mekadesh Hashem Shemayim, a wonderful person. Now, we come to another woman in that area, or a little later, called Eshes Potiphera, the wife of Potiphera. We know, Chazal say, the reason why she looked to entice Yosef was because she was also Mechaveness Hashem Shemayim. She had Kavon Hashem Shemaim because she saw that she'd have children from Yosef HaTzadik. Really, the way it played itself out was that she married, that Yosef married Osnas Bas Potiphera. But in her mission, in her very spiritual, lofty mission of trying to have children from Yosef, she went about it in the way she did. And she's remembered for all eternity, Terez Nitzchias, as being a wicked woman. So he asked, it seems to be so strange. Both these ladies had lofty aspiration and spiritual reasons why they did for what they did. So why is it that Thomas considered to be such a tzaddikus and Asia's Potiphera remembered forever as being a terrible person? And he said the following idea. He says that many times in life, we have aspirations, we have goals for the best possible reasons. But it takes a lot of strength for a person who's on the right way to understand that certain times things could come in the way that are signs or reasons that the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want me to bring the poil to manifest this great idea that I have. Tamar understood. She has a lofty mission of building Malchus Beis David and through having children through Yehuda. And she goes about doing so in the way she did. She has in her stomach already Malchus Beis David. She's already pregnant. She has a Malchus David in her stomach. She understands. If Chazal HaKadosh Torah says that one can't embarrass someone else, then although she has a great mission and she's full of sense of mission, but if there's an issa to advise someone else, then she understands that the Rebbeinu Shlom will arrange for this to happen in a different way, and she stopped. She had the ability to be able to stop. Asia's Potiphera, what I used to say, was a bulldozer. A bulldozer is, I have a mission, I'm doing this for a lofty purpose, therefore come what may, whatever may come my way, I crash it down, I have to achieve my mission, and that's what matters. So even if there's a sin of enticing Yosef, or being going Yosef to do an Aveira, that does not matter, because me, I'm on the path of doing a wonderful thing, of bringing, having children from Yosef, sadly, which I see in Nevuah, I need to. Coming back to the Mapilim, we have to understand a very important thing. These people were filled with a sense of regret, and now they were taking a change of course, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. If now, the Rebbeinu Shlom has said, that's not the way I want you to do, that's, things have changed now, and you're obviously not fitting to go to Eretz Yisrael, so when these people went with their lofty spiritual intentions of full of regret, and we're now going to go with hearts full of longing for Eretz Yisrael, at this point, now the Rebbeinu Shlom has said that that's no longer the right way to go, that was considered to be a terrible sin, and they were killed for that. In Yiddishkeit, in English, there's a saying, the ends justify the means, or there's a question whether the ends justify the means. In Yiddishkeit, there's no such a thing. If I have a spiritual end, or I have a lofty idea I'm trying to achieve, there's no such a thing as the emtsaim, the things to get there, can be done. I can do what I like to get there. The ends do not justify the means. Rav Pinkus says that we find at the end of the parasha, end of Torah, the last pasuk in the Torah is the Chol Yod Chazaka, the Chol Amira Agodol, Asher Osa Moshe Leini Kol Yisrael. And Rashi says, Shenosu Lishn Liboy, he had the strength to be able to break the luchos in front of them. Shenema Vashvirim Leinechem, Veskimo Dasa Kodesh Baruch Lodatoi. Hashem agreed to him, as it says, Shenema Asher Shibarto, Yayasha Koychacho Asher Shibarto. Rebbeinu Shlom thanks Moshe Rabbeinu for breaking the luchos. Says Rav Pinkus, what's the great strength of Moshe Rabbeinu? He said, there's never been a loftier mission or sense of me changing the world, of holding in your hands Torah HaKadoshah, which is going to change Klal Yisrael for all eternity. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know that Klal Yisrael will be given a second chance. He hasn't been told that Pesalacha, he doesn't know there will be another opportunity for Klal Yisrael to receive Torah again. And he understands at this point, if Klal Yisrael are not Roy, there's something stopping me from achieving this enormous feat of giving Torah to Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu throws the luchos and he smashes the luchos. That's the strength, that's the ability to understand that if something's stopping me in the achievement of a great mission, because it's not the right thing to do, I have the power in my hand, I have the power in my, I have the possibility to be able to say no, I'm going to break the luchos. It's well known that the Netzivim Veloshim had a yeshiva and the yeshiva was closed down. I just want to quote you, I have here some text from the historian who put together what went on at that time, just to have the idea a little bit what the Netziv did. The Netziv had the Volozhin yeshiva, was the mother of all yeshivas, the most fantastic yeshiva. And the Netziv made a decision to close that yeshiva down, to stop this movement of enormous Torah, Torah coming into this world in the most phenomenal way. And I'll quote to you as follows. His son Rav Chaim Berlin recorded in his will, this is the will of the son of the Netziv, he writes as follows: before his death, my father, the late Gaon, told me about his mysterious nefesh in not allowing any secular studies in the yeshiva of Volozhin. Over this issue, the yeshiva closed down, and this led to his final illness. This is what the Netziv is telling his son. And this led to my final illness, says the Netziv, from which I never recovered. He commanded me never to yield on this matter under any circumstances, regardless of any dispensation given by anyone in the world. He maintained that Hashem had hinted this all the way, to distinguish between sanctified and profane. In other words, when matters of secular profane have commingled with sacred without distinction, not only do the sacred matters lose their sanctity, but they are defiled by profane matters, etc. Therefore, my son, do not feel bad that this matter was the cause of my leaving the world and closing the yeshiva. He continues to write what happened actually when the yeshiva was closed. On Wednesday, the 5th of Shvat, 1892, the yeshiva of Volozhin was finally closed. On that day, hundreds of peasants, commanded by dozens of policemen, surrounded the yeshiva campus. Some government officials stepped into the base of Medrash and ordered the students to stop learning, while a police captain read out to the Netziv the government order closing the yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva stood as if rooted to his place, pale as whitewash, until his wife hurried over to him with a cup of cold water to keep him from fainting. The officials demanded that the students leave the building immediately. Their job was not only to close the institution, but also to lock the building and seal its doors. The students began to file out one by one, upset and mourning, the way one leaves the house of a dead person. Several of them stayed behind to take out the Sifri Torah and other Sifri Kodesh. Only one person did not leave, but was removed from the yeshiva, the focal point of its life, Netziv. Shattered by the incident, did not have the strength to walk out himself. He had to be carried out. The eagle's wings had been clipped, its world destroyed. 4 days later on Sunday, Netziv called a special meeting of the yeshiva directors to deal with its future. The meeting took place in Vilna at the Gershonovitz Hotel. Among its participants was Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik of Bris, the Beis Halevi, his son Reb Chaim we know, and others which I'm familiar with. Concerning this meeting, the Chofetz Chaim told his students the following: some of the people present expressed the opinion that they should accept the lesser of the two evils. In other words, introduce the secular learning into the yeshiva so that it would not have to remain closed. At this point, Rabbi Yosef Dov of Brisk arose with tears on his cheeks and declared that it's better to close the yeshiva than to yield. And the Chofetz Chaim used to conclude his story with the following lesson. Note how foresighted was the Torah view of the previous generation Goyim. Had they agreed to introduce secular studies into the yeshiva of Volozhin, Torah would, God forbid, have been forgotten in our generation. For this is the Yetzer Hara, who begins with 2 hours a day of secular studies and ultimately leaves only 2 hours a day for Torah studies. Once, however, they had decided to stand firm as a rock and not compromise at all, the Torah found itself other ways, other places, and yeshivas opened in Lithuania and Poland without secular studies. They became the Torah fortune of our generation. About such a situation, the Chofetz Chaim finishes off, our sages said that Moshe had to be congratulated for breaking the tablets. Sometimes stopping the Torah is the way to maintain it. So in other words, all those years ago, Moshe Rabbeinu had that strength to understand that if Torah is going to have to be in any way compromised because Klal Yisrael having sinned on the eagle is not fitting, he broke the luchos, the Netziv many years later had the same appreciation, understanding, and the Netziv so too broke the luchos, understanding that Torah can't carry on if it's going to be the way it is, and he stopped in his tracks and his great lofty mission. I saw from the Chiddush Yerim, from the Sefer Siyah Safi Kodesh, a very beautiful idea which brings this very much out. He's speaking in Parashat Va'aloischa, the Parashat we had very recently, the Parashat of Pesach Sheni. And he says, we have the story here of people came, people who were why should we be worse off? Let's see what Rebbe Shem commands. And Rebbe Shem came with a grace of Chiddush, a Naya Parsha of Pesach Sheni, and they were able to Mekayim Korban Pesach Pesach Sheni. So he asked some very pointed questions. They saw themselves the reason why they were unable to bring the Korban Pesach. It says, who were Tomei Nefesh of them, they said, Loma Nigora. It seemed to me they understood that being Tomei, they're unable to bring the Korban Pesach. So what was their problem exactly? So the Chiddushim says as follows. Who are these people who are Tomei? The Gemara in Sukkah is done on that. And he says there's either people who are carrying, Rabbi Yosef Aglili says there's the people who are carrying the Reino Shel Yosef. Rabbi Akiva says there's Mishol Velisofen who are busy with the Kavura Nodav Aviyu. Or others say that they're busy with the Meis Mitzvah. So they came with a Merid Kakasha. We know Mitzvah Gereris Mitzvah. That means if a person has done one Mitzvah, he's in a better spiritual position to do another Mitzvah. So the question was the biggest pella that can possibly be. We have just been Moisa Nefesh, be it with Yosef or Mishol and Sofa, there was people who needed to be buried. And we took our time out from other things, wherever it might be, and we were Yosef Mitzvah. Does that not make it that we are in a better position to Mekayim Korban Pesach? It's not just the regular person bringing Korban Pesach. It's people who have been oisig in a big, big mitzvah. They're bringing the Korban Pesach. Therefore, the pasuk says, we're being tamei lenefesh odom. Therefore, lo monigora. That's not an explanation. That was for them a reason to say no. Faket. That should be more of a reason for us to be able to bring Korban Pesach. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Let us see Mashi Yitzave Hashem Lochem, what the British will command, meaning the same thing. Just because a person's feeling very lofty and very driven and a very spiritual state of mind, there's halachas, there's structures which the Torah said and the Rebbeinu commanded that if a person's Tomei, he's not Roi LaKrovi, he can't bring a korban. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, let's see Mashi Yitzave Hashem Lochem, let's see what the Rebbeinu says, because that's the ultimate kaveya. And indeed, it wasn't possible for them to bring the korban. The Rebbeinu Shem, because he saw their longing to do the mitzvah, was mechadesh a whole new parasha of Pesach Sheni. But again, the taina was sometimes a person's in a state of mind. What do you mean? I'm more pure. No, Torah says someone who's tamei cannot bring a korban. This idea is known with the Gemara. The Gemara brings that it says in the Yeshaya. Chizkiyo was getting ill, he was about to die. And he said to him, you're going to die and you will not live. And the Gemara Darshan's in Brochus, that he told him, you're going to die in this world and die in the next world. What's so terrible, what have I done? Amalei, shundele osakta bepiru v'rivya, you did not get married. Amalei, shundechazoi li beruach hakodesh, I saw in ruach hakodesh, denofki minoi, there's going to come from me, benin delo malu, chas v'shalom, not good children. Amalei, bahadi, kavsha, derachmona, lo malacha. What do you have with the hidden things of the Rebbeinu Shleilam? Madavgatoi, boi lacha, lemevad, what you were commanded you should do, umadenicha, kamei, kutcha, bricho, levid, and the Rebbeinu Shleilam is the one who can decide what type of children you have. Chizkiyahu made a cheshbon. For me, al pi seichel, al pi my ruchnis stick a cheshbon. It doesn't make sense for me to get married. For that, he was almost chas v'shalom chayv kloya. For why? Because you don't make cheshbonis. The Torah says the way we have to act. Where it doesn't stim, where it doesn't fit with our lofty ideas, or our ideas, the way spiritually it should work, who wants to chas v'shalom have children to make mali? That's not your cheshbon. I once saw in the Tzferes Yonason Abishus a Go'inish Sushtel, if you'll bear with me, he says as follows. The Apostle in Vayikra says, V'im min ha'tzoyin korbonoi min ha'ksovim min ha'ksovim min ha'ezim lo'oilo zocho tom yakivenu. So he says as follows. The Gemara says that certain things Chizkiyahu HaMelech did and Chazal agreed with him. So one of them was, he smashed the Nachash HaNechoshes. That means, there was a time in Klai Yisrael where there was a plague in Klai Yisrael. The Bereshim said, told Moshe Rabbeinu, make a snake, and they hung it up, and when they looked at the snake, then they were cured. So he said, what happened was, what used to happen at that stage was, people used to do whatever they wanted, and when they became ill, as a Einosh, all they did was, they looked at the snake, and they recovered. So things got a little bit out of hand. So Chizkiyahu came, and he smashed it. So he asked the Mordechai Kasher, we're going to answer the Mordechai Kasher, if there was this thing going on, that people were taking advantage, and there was terrible repercussion of people sinning, so Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of Moshe Rabbeinu, why did no one do it beforehand? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu or previous people not take care of this problem earlier? As soon as that, they smashed the Nechash and the Choshes to take away this lure for people to sin because there's a way to get out of it. So he says, Azoi, Chizkiyahu HaMelech was the one who didn't get married. Why? Because he held that if you have a cheshbon, a ruchnistic cheshbon, you can do a new thing al pi ruchnius. And that's why he didn't get married. So he made a cheshbon that if al pi cheshbon it doesn't work to have the nechash and the choshes, it's time for me to get rid of it. Moshe Rabbeinu held, I don't, but I have the kafshu rachmona lomeli. It's not up to you to make a decision to change what's going on. Till the Rebbeinu Shem tells me to take it away, the Rebbeinu Shem told me to make it, I don't take matters into my hand, into my own hands, because I see there's a crisis. It was only Chizkiyahu who l'shitosai held, can make a cheshbon, he so to speak had that, I wouldn't say chasam audacity, he had that bravery to step forward and do something which hadn't been commanded by the Rebbeinu Shleinam. So that's the nekudah of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu sort of didn't go with this, but Akaponim, we see that wasn't the right way. Even though they agreed to what he did in reference to the Chas and the Choshes, Akaponim, when it came to not getting married, Rebbeinu Shem made it known to him that really was Chayv Kloya. So coming back to the Pasuk, the way he says is, Min HaKsovim or Min HaIzim, he says, Min HaKsovim means is the Loshon of Kavsha. When a person's bringing a korban as a sin for what he's done when he's been involved with making cheshbonos in kavshad rachmona, or min ha'izim is m'loshon azul, so that's not for now. Al kaponim, we see here this is the idea of a hand of kavshad rachmona lomeli. I heard from Rabbi Knopfler from London. He once said the pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, "Tatshe yores desha esim azria zera eitz pri." The beginning of the bria when there's a sivoy for the greenery to come. So Rashi says, "Eitz pri, sheyeh tam ha'eitz katam ha'pri." The tree has to taste the same as the fruit. V'hi lo yosa kein elo v'toitz ya'oretz v'chula. The eitz is a pri v'lo ya'eitz pri. So in other words, the Zeroim did not listen to the Rebbeinu Shleilam, and they grew in a way that the tam ha'eitz was not the same as the pri. Says Rashi, when Adam was punished al avoinoi, nifkado gam hi al avoinoi v'niskal lo, the ground too was punished for its sin. When Adam was punished, so too was the ground. Now you have to ask two very basic questions. First of all, what was the motive of the Zeroim, of the greenery, to change from what the Rebbeinu Shem were told? And if indeed it was so terrible what he did, why was the greenery not punished immediately? Why did you have to wait till Adam was punished and then the Zeroim were punished too? So he said to Mordechai Kazach, the Arizal brings, the reason why the Zeroim changed was because the way that Adam, the way that the Nochosh was Meshachnea Chava to eat, was he told her that the Tam ha'eitz, and there was the Esrog, sorry, I miss, only one fruit didn't change. That was the Esrog. Esrog is Tam Eitz Apirushon. Only one that listened. So how was the Nochos Meshachnea Chava? He took an Esrog, the result says it was an Esrog tree, and he says, taste the Eitz. And she tasted the Eitz, and nothing happened to her. So he said, Zeitzach Ois, since Tam Eitz Apirushon, if you'll have the Peri as well, you're safe. Now, the rest of the Zeroim didn't want to be a cause for Chava to sin. So they made the calculation that al pi our seichel, our spiritual cheshbon, we are not going to be the same. Right? Only the Esrog listened.
So, therefore, what happened? So that's the reason. So, in other words, they made a cheshbon, and that was considered to be. So, we managed them immediately. That seems to be unfair, so to speak. But they were nenash for making that cheshbon. Only the esrog didn't, and for that reason, the esrog was zeich to be of such a focal part of the mitzvah on Sukkos. And the Sfasemis says that the reason why the esrog was zeich to be the focal part on Sukkos is because it did fog the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Listen. He finished off with a very good kinech. It's a famous medrash that says, right? And there's a lot of talk on what that means. He wants to say with the following. Rishon lecheshbon avoinos. There's certain averus which I do which are done lecheshbon, because I make a cheshbon that is right to do it. Esrog's a message, don't do that. Don't make it. Behind the kavsh of the Rachman alomeli. Therefore, it's rishon lecheshbon avoinos regard to the esrog specifically, because the esrog should be a lesson for you not to be making cheshbon avoinos, not to make a way of doing averus al pi cheshbon. Because the esrog specifically, like it says, so therefore, the kavsh of your mission is specifically referring to on the parasha of the esrog. Why did he get punished later on? So obviously it wasn't enough to have an immediate, but as a sort of there was a time on, so sort of later on, whatever that means, with Adam he got punished, but it wasn't something that came down, so to speak. The Mechavan Hashem Shemayim, they had the right intention in doing so. Furthering on this theme, the Beis Halevi writes very beautifully when he wants to describe the yisoid of the sin of the Chet Egel, and he writes as follows: Ma ro Yisrael akocha? How come the Jews did so? How is it possible immediately after Kabbalah Satira, Klal Yisrael sinned in such a terrible way? Vashanira to Yodua b'chol mitzvah yesh b'tanim kavonos and a Muslim says a story. Through the Kiyum HaMitzvah, a person's masakan, many things go on upstairs. That's the tikkun. That's the yisoid of doing mitzvahs. Omnom tov, b'zeh tov sechod. Dein emes, the ma'isa adam b'nei matachtoin is masakin. But the way it's masakin, in other words, our ma'isa mitzvahs have strength, have meaning, rak im oisa ma'isa sivsa lovatoyro la soisa. And he says the idea of the Mishkan, as receive Hashem as Moshe again and again and again, was to bring home. You had a spiritual cheshbon, because he says they understood that Moshe, who was Omed Bein Hashem and Bein Om, loy bo. They understood that it's impossible for us to have a relationship with the Rebbeinu Shalom without Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, for all spiritual and good intentions, they decided they wanted to have an intermediary, a way of connecting the Rebbeinu Shalom. But because that was not the tzivui, the Rebbeinu Shalom not told them to do so. Avin yaseh odom eizeh maisa shleni stavolo b'toira rak midas atzmoi os oisa maisa in a mol klum ta maisa misal atzmoi liyichu shum dovo. And he says, not only that, va'adraba oid lechit godo lichoshe. For a person doing what he seems to think makes sense, for his spiritual, his ruchnias, the outcome was Rachman Atzlan Achita Egel, and the tikkun for that was the Mishkan of Chachi Saveh Hashem Es Moshe. That is the way the Rebbeinu Shem says you should do it, because that has meaning. If you're going with what the Rebbeinu Shem says, what the Torah says, that has meaning, that has strength, that has a kiyum. The Moshe Feinstein on this vein thinks very beautiful what it means, Nasiv Nishma. He says, when Klal Yisrael said, Kol HaShadiva Hashem Naseh, whatever the Rebbeinu Shem says we will do, that means they have the feeling and the spiritual uplifting. They want to serve the Rebbeinu Shem. What the Rebbeinu Shem wants, we want to come close to the Rebbeinu Shem. But he says, had it stopped at that, had it not developed further to the Nishma, what's the Nishma? Nishma means that although I want to serve you and come close to the Rebbeinu Shem, I do understand and appreciate that I don't always know the way to come close to you. Or if I only do the way I feel I should be coming close to you, there could be very terrible repercussions. Therefore, it was Kalash to Hashem, Naseh. Naseh, yes, but the Nishma, I'm willing to hear. I'm willing, I'm prepared to listen, I'm prepared to be guided. To understand that sometimes that burst of wanting to become close to your Rebbeinu Shem will not be let out of control, and indeed I'll do what you want the Rebbeinu Shem according to how you want it. Shem Shrafal Hirsch says a very beautiful idea. We know the Oran had a golden box
a wooden box and a golden box. And he says as follows, he says, wood is something which grows. Wood is a tzomeach, it grows. So he says, each person in looking for his derech in Avodas Hashem or Talmud Chacham is looking for a way to find closeness. You're given a certain leeway, an ability. There's wood, you can grow your way. However, there's zav on one side and there's zav on the other side. That, what's the idea? The idea is, you can't move out of your... There's certain boundaries which Chazal Kaveya, which the Torah Kodesh is Kaveya, which within you have to find your unique way of serving the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Be a tzemeach, be a grower. Grow the way you want to grow. But it has to be within the restricted thing. What does the Torah allow me to grow? How does the Torah allow me to grow? Reb Chaim used to tell us, he met a person who, when he opened his Rambam in this fellow's house, the Kesef Mishnah often was crossed out. So he asked him, what's going on? He says, I don't like what he says. In other words, if somebody hasn't had, I'm allowed to argue, I'm allowed to have a different opinion. In other words, he said, this person never been to yeshiva before. He was never taught there's certain norms, there's certain boundaries which were allowed. That means, if you want to disagree with the Kesef Mishnah or suggest a different pshat, that's fair enough. But to cross out the Kesef Mishnah, that's not it's just not what's done. That's not the approach. That's not the way we mechab the Kesef Mishnah. They say the story of a fellow who used to cut out the Tosas on the Gemara because they didn't agree with it. Don't agree with it. He's asked, what about the Tosas on the other side of the page? Oyle Rosh, Oyle Shreinoi. But that's an approach that's obviously not accepted. I once met a gentleman, a middle-aged gentleman, who works in Kirov. And he says to me, he's a musician, he says to me, you know what I do? I go to prisons, I go to old age homes, and I take my guitar, whatever it is, and I sing to these poor people. Very moving, very wonderful, very spiritual, wonderful. And he says, and I go to the old age home, and there's an old lady of 85, and I'll take her hand and hold her hand and sing to her. And he says, I might go to Gehenna for doing so, but that has to be the right thing to do. It's a very frightening thing, because there it seems so correct that indeed an older woman, 85-year-old woman wants some sympathy, she wants to feel some warmth. But Alpi Torah, Torah says, well, however old the woman is, if it's also to touch a woman, that's also. So having your mission, having your lofty desire, and indeed doing it in a way that you think is more effective, if Torah doesn't allow that, that has no place at all. Always very inspired, you find by Avraham Avinu, who was supposed to be the king of all Achnos HaSorichim. The Torah points out, Rashi points out the difference, how when they arrived by Loit, they arrived by Avraham Avinu. So Loit says, come in and wash afterwards, Linu, and Rachatzu Yaragleichem. Avraham Avinu says, first wash and then come inside. It seems to be the most awkward, unhospitable thing to do. People are coming at your door. Imagine if someone came to your door and says, can I come in? Wash yourself first. Isn't that so rude, so unpleasant, so unwelcoming? Now the understanding is, Avraham Avinu understood, I have a mission, he is the Av of Achnos HaSorichim, he is the Goymul Chesed, for all eternity Avraham Avinu, the biggest Goymul Chesed. But he understood, I'm not allowed to bring in Avodah Zorah into my house, if it's also Al Pi Torah to bring Avodah Zorah in my house, then all the Chesed in the world has to be limited and bound and stopped by anything. We know, the Torah uses a Lashon of Arayus, someone who marries his sister, I think, a Lashon of Chesed, he's doing a kindness. It could be kindness because you're taking care, you're going to provide for your sister whatever she needs, what a loving gesture. But if that's not what the Torah wants, that's Heper Chesed, that's considered to be a great sin, a great Saveira. I just want to finish off with another example of this, where sometimes a person's Cheshbon can go wrong. The pasuk says in the parasha of Vayera, Avraham Avinu brought in Avraham, and he had the guests over there. So he told Sarah to get ready the various refreshments, and the pasuk says, bear with me. Pasuk says, he said, "Emaya Avraham Ohayla Sarah, Vayom Mar Yishleis Im Kemach Soiles Lushiva Si Ugois." Now, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia that
It says kemach and it says soiles. So Rabbi Yitzchok says mikan sheisho soro einehel boirchim yosim ish. A woman has it more difficult to have guests than a man. Why? Because soro say, he says Avram said. Rashi says because he omro kemach, which is a lesser form of purified wheat. Vehu soiles, and he said soiles. So there seems to be, the pasuk doesn't say who said what. And there's a girus in the Gemara that says faket, that Soro said soiles, and Avram said kemach. So now the Mephoshim have a big question. Where do you see that Einot Soro ba'orichim, she doesn't want to have guests, if she was the one who said a better quality or a more plentiful type of wheat? There's many pshotim. But I heard B'Shem Reb Gedalia Rabinowitz, that he said the following idea. He said, there seems to be, we know from the Noshim Sidkonius, there seems to be, well, the way they like to do it is, if we're having guests, it's going to be a very special Shabbos. Special Shabbos meaning, if it takes 2 hours to make Shabbos, or 3 hours usually, then a Shabbos with guests is a 5 hour, 6 hour job. So he said, her doing that, yeah, because she wants to make it nicer for her guests, has after effect. That means it becomes Einis Sorah Ba'orchim. So when it comes to say, says to her husband, I can't have guests this week. I just haven't got koyach. I can't be bothered for guests this week. So he says, what happens is, because she's made the cheshbon that she wants to make it special, beautiful guests, sometimes that can have a negative impact. I heard from Reb Naftali Kopchitz, he says that Reb Shlomo Eger wrote in his Savar to his children, one of the things he wrote, he found fitting to write in his Savar was, don't make things extra special for your guests. Because that has a direct effect that you'll stop having guests. Because if a person has guests as too much of a pressure, then he stops having guests. So again, you have something which seems to be, make it extra beautiful, put yourself out. Not necessarily does that mean that will be a better way of doing Achnas HaZorichim. And they tie it to the Mishnah as follows. The Mishnah says, Yehi Beischa, your house should be Pesuach Levocha, Ve'yaniyem B'nei Beischa, Ve'altar B'sichoim Isha. Very strange sushtel. You have, your house should be open, anim should be in your house, and don't be mar besicha with a woman. What's the connection? So he said, this is Rav Tolly Kopchitz in the Meridik Attach. He said, as like, Pasha's pshat is, if you're going to have anim in your house, women will be coming in as well, poor women, and the result of that will be that you'll be mar besicha isha, so therefore in the light of having guests, even the female guests, don't be mar besicha isha. But he said as follows, Ye base of Sulavach, your house should be open. The Al Tarbe, don't do too much for your guests. The Al Tarbe, don't make too much effort for them. Sichaim Isha, constantly talk to your wife about this idea of the Al Tarbe, of not putting too much koichas in. The Sam Soifa writes on a similar vein, the Al Tarbe Sichaim Isha means don't tell your wife you're bringing guests home. Don't tell your wife that you're bringing guests home. I'm not saying that that's a good idea, but the general idea is it should be zoicha in order to miss Hashem, to know what the real Rotzen Hashem is. And Mahadakav Shalachmona Lomeli.